Welcome to Unscripted Beauty, the podcast where TV host and reluctant mom, that's me, with tech teacher and good mom,
that's me,
get together to talk about our unscripted journey through parenthood. Today, we're talking about fear, the four-letter word. Good mom has culled a ton of research from the internet. I have shown up empty-handed, but good mom has culled a ton of amazing research from thought leaders and researchers and just talking heads about fear, what it is, how we can function with it, and how to manage it and work with it as just yet another thing that's happening in life. We're also going to interweave.
You're much better with the big word.
I'm not today.
It's Monday.
I'll fall on Monday. I have no excuse.
Well, and it was just spring break. Like,
I'll take spring break. I'll take shoddy sleep last night. Mm-hmm. Something woke me up. It wasn't anything good, like tequila. Mm-hmm. That's a lie, because you know that's a lie. So yeah, we're going to talk personal. We're going to enter something, personal anecdotes about fear, how it comes up in our lives and what we're doing with it, about it and for it. All right, hit us. So what did you find? You found really interesting things.
I was very curious about fear, why some people are afraid and others are not, and how to not instill our fears into our kids.
Yeah, I love that. And when you said that to me first, okay, how do we not instill fear in our kids? I fell over laughing. I was like, oh, that's such a great concept. I'm definitely not doing that.
Mm-hmm. It's hard because if you're fearful, they see you.
Yeah.
They see what you're scared of. And then a lot, they mimic what we do.
Yeah.
So how do you not pass that on?
It's so true. I have no idea. I feel like I'm a bundle of fear and anxiety, so much more so since having kids.
And you always come off so cool, like so calm. No one would know it.
Everybody says fearless when they're describing me. Literally, yeah. I just got a comment on social media. Yep. Just one word, fearless. And I read it and I have to like wipe my eyes. Is that actually what I'm seeing? Courageous, brave. They use those words all the time to describe me. I don't see it at all for some strange reason. I have no idea.
But you come out very confident. So I think confident actually makes people think that you're fearless, because it's your persona that you give off. So you're going out and you're interviewing random strangers or just anyone, and people look at you with confidence. And a lot of people intertwine confidence with fear. So you're fearless.
So I think it's really interesting when you break it down that way, because I don't look at it that way at all. But what you're saying is the thing that everybody says. Are you kidding me? You can go up to perfect strangers and talk to them and get shoulder to shoulder with them and have them spill their life. Oh, and by the way, on camera.
Yes, for people to see.
For everybody to see in the world. And you have to release it and let it out there into the great universe. Yep. I don't see it that way. I see it as, oh, I'm so interested in talking to that person. I'm just going to go up to them and do that. And it doesn't even like, I do get scared, definitely.
You would never tell.
That's what everybody says. So I think it's maybe fear, as we're talking about this and dissecting it a little bit, I think maybe it's this. I've been told that I'm afraid of fear. It's just that I'm afraid of fear. So if I don't think about it, I'm definitely living with it, because you're saying I'm doing these things and people are saying I'm doing these things that are really brave, and I don't necessarily see it that way, but I am scared when I'm doing it. But
you
it's
went
not
up to
keeping
how many
me
strangers?
From doing it. 52.
Yeah. So
in a
that
month.
Is scary. Like, that would scare for me to even go up to one person would scare me. You went up to that many in 1 month. Like that takes a lot. Most people would define that as fearless.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't even register.
I don't think
register.
You give yourself enough credit.
I think that's definitely true, too. Yeah.
That's hard. It's hard even for some people just to go order food or just socially. And you went up to random strangers.
Yeah, I don't even think about it that way. I don't. And I am scared for sure. That's the interesting, there's this word that's getting kind of overused right now, but pivot. I am scared, but I still do it.
So it takes guts.
Yeah, right.
It's, I mean, and that's something great for your kids to see.
Yeah, that's true.
It'll help them step out of comfort zone. And then it'll, yeah.
I was going to quote Kramer, they're out there, baby, and they're loving it.
Yeah.
That's the boxers, the no underwear episode. No, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to detract from it. Good mom is saying, no. What have you done? So yeah, no, totally. I think you're right. It does help them. I don't even think about any of that. They do go up to people though, that they're comfortable with, you know, not everybody.
It's a skill though for them to be able to do that.
I don't even think that way.
Oh yeah. Even for kids to say hello, like if a kid comes over your house and they say hello to you, not all do that.
That's such a good point.
And they look you in the eyes. Like these are things some kids are very fearful to talk to adults.
Yeah, that's so interesting because we had a kid over break and this, I don't even want to say the gender because it's going to, then I'm going to hear it from my kids. Yeah, are you talking about my friend?
Yeah, don't.
So I'll say this
kid. Human, yeah.
This kid, I had not met him or her.
Okay.
So I make a point, go into the entry, say, hello, I'm this person. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming over. Wouldn't look at me.
Yep.
And I was so, I'm so take everything personal that I was like completely, I don't like this kid. Get it out of here.
Some kids, they just don't look you in the eyes. Like, I don't know if it's not taught at home. Some will come right up to me and they'll be like, hi, Miss blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, very nice. Like,
I like that.
Yes. They'll see you out. They'll say it. They'll look you in the eyes. They'll stop you. They'll run over to the car.
It's the best.
Yeah. And others will come into the house, even if they've been in my house a gazillion times, and they don't even look up. Like,
no.
I don't understand it. I don't know if they're just scared. So I try not to make a big thing about it.
You're right. We shouldn't. Because I don't know if I don't know what I was like back then. I can't remember. My parents were huge on, you must make eye contact.
You've met mine.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They say it to the kid, grandkids,
Your
too.
Parents are the same way.
Look them in the eye.
Yeah.
Shake you their connect. Hand.
Yeah. That's why we're here.
They're big on respect.
So this kid wasn't taking its head out of the phone.
Oh,
of course,
that's
that
even
made
worse,
me more
though,
uncomfortable because
yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, is it doing that with my kid? But I have to, I think I said something. My kids hate when I do this.
I know.
Yeah. So I said something that didn't go well.
They give you that look. Like,
mom, you're
don't
taking
talk.
It personally. Yeah, yeah, right. You know, okay. All right. As long so you like the kid and then I start in with that interrogation. That doesn't help either.
Well, no, because you don't want it to come onto your kids.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. Like, well, how fun is fun bags over here? The head's in the telephone.
Yeah.
We
I
just
don't
walked
like
in the door.
Yep. Oh, I get that a lot.
What is that?
I don't know.
You got to be comfortable with each other.
Yes.
Forget me.
Or even if they're eating, then if they take their phone out, I'm like, oh no.
I can't handle that.
No.
I don't like the phone at the table. It's not good for digestion.
Why even sit at the table?
Exactly. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. If you don't want to talk to me and you don't want to, like, then make your own dinner.
Yeah.
Go eat by yourself with your phone.
That's not happening. I don't let any of that at
the
table.
No, we don't. Mm-mm. I don't like it.
Uh-uh. No. All right. Hit us with something you found because the stuff you found is dynamite.
Well, we were trying to figure out what it means to be fearless. Like, why are some people fearless and some aren't? And it says, you may believe that brave and courageous people have no fear, but they're wrong. Like, they do have fear. They just manage their fear differently than we do. So it says that being fearless means knowing how to leverage fear. So I know when I become afraid, it takes over and I don't know how to leverage it. It literally will take over your whole body. Some people can just handle it. They drive, like they thrive. Like they like that adrenaline. Like if you look at like the big wave surfers, they love it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting because you and I have talked about anxiety a lot. You're not anxious. You don't have anxiety. And when you speak about it, I know you're telling the truth because I have it really badly.
And you would never know it though.
Which is so strange because you're describing almost like a way, what you're describing is anxiety. The fear comes over. And I know this because I have it every day. This is how I feel what you're describing. And for the most part, go forward and keep doing what I'm doing. I feel it. I'll notice, all right, you are procrastinating. Just go get out of the car and go forward. Just take the first step.
That's good. Some people can't do that. At least you're getting yourself out the door. Like, but some people can't do it.
If someone asked me to do a TEDx or something, I would die.
I wouldn't do it.
And that's really not good. We should do it.
I can't.
I know, but I think I would have a panic attack on the stage and die.
I have had, when I've had to do them, like I stutter, my face turns red, and I literally can't speak. I can't do it. I can't be in front of adults.
Yeah, it does seem like it's adults. I agree with that. I told you about the panic attack I had on a modeling audition one time in the city. Oh, it was super intimidating. And I felt like this is the anxiety setting in. You're not right for this. That was going okay. through my head in the waiting room, because you're like with all these other people that are going for it. And I had convinced myself that I didn't look like the age they were looking
Come
for.
Come on.
No, I know, but I knew you that you
knew
were going to do
gonna
that.
Say something.
No, well, because it's actually the opposite of what they were at the time. They wanted 40 women in their 40s.
Okay.
I was like 42 or something. So my agent was right to send me on it. I didn't look like I was 42, which I didn't realize until I got around a bunch of 40-year-old women. And I was like, I don't look right for them. Yeah, they looked older than me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's true right now at all. But at the time,
I am saying it's true.
She's being nice. Mm-mm. At the time. And so I convinced myself I wasn't right for it. I know people are like, oh, let me play the violin for you. You don't look right for a 40-year-old audition.
You look too young.
Yeah, so sad. Really sorry to hear that. But I went in, and so I was already off kilter. You're not supposed to do that. Like, you're supposed to sit in the waiting room with horse blinders on, don't talk to anyone, be in your zone. This is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. Do your thing. That's what my acting teacher taught, and she was right. Like, don't have conversations. You're going to unpsych yourself from whatever you're doing. And then I got in there. There was a huge, serious panel of people.
Oh my gosh,
and I just like went into the deepest panic attack ever. They were like talking me through motions and movements, and I was like, could barely move. It was horrible.
Somebody give me a brown bag.
Yeah. Oh my. Is there a trap door anywhere? Anyone, Bueller, help me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but the thing you're describing is that it's anxiety.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's commonplace to let it stop us. I frequently don't let it stop us, but I do on certain things. Absolutely. I have massive social anxiety, which you know.
And it doesn't make sense, because you literally go up to strangers and will talk to them, but you don't want to go out into like a social setting.
I'm like extremely uncomfortable in social.
And you're so social.
Thank you.
I mean, everyone adores you that you meet. You literally, like, my parents would take you in as their third daughter.
I would go. I love your parents.
Maybe we could make them vegan.
I would try. I would try. That would be fun. Yeah. So I don't know. And so I do some social situations I'll stop. So like I won't do.
Okay.
But I'll say I'm tired. That's usually true. That's actually usually true. But I am definitely having this underlying fear of like, I don't want those people to see me. I don't look good enough. I'm
just
not.
Great. You would like, never know it. It's the confidence though, because you do come off very confident. So no one would ever know what's underlying.
I think that's true. And it's not something that I realize at all in my everyday arena. And I definitely don't go to this place of like, these people would want to see me. I'm like, they'll hate me. I can't go out today.
No, no, no.
100%. Yeah. I think that's it.
Okay.
So hit us with like what we can do and ways to.
They say that fearless people are not afraid to be afraid. They are comfortable acknowledging their fear. So you would just have to acknowledge that you know you're going to have this feeling. And you just need to work through it, which I don't know. I don't know how. But I guess if you think about, I used to be afraid of needles. And then when I got pregnant with Cole, you have to get needles all the time. Like, you're constantly having to give blood. And now I have a thyroid disease, so I have to give blood every 3 months. Now I have no fear of needles.
Really?
None. I can handle it.
Okay.
Cole can look at the needle.
Yeah.
Going into his body.
That I don't like doing.
I can't do it.
No.
I'll look away and try to meditate.
So wait, what did you do? That's huge.
I started to look at things. I'm not going to think about it until the day of.
This is what I mean about not having anxiety.
Yes.
Like, the fact that you can do that.
I know, because you and Kevin are very similar. Kevin thinks about it from the moment. He's like, you're not worried about the game. And I'm like, I'm not going to worry until it's here. I'm at like the stadium and here we go. Like, it's time. It's game time.
How do you do that?
I don't know. It just happens.
I know you do that because you've talked to me about it before. And yes. I have the same look on my face then as I do now. Shock.
It's like I didn't get nervous about the podcast until, I don't know, Kevin Tolman, who was like talking to me. I'm like, can I just look through these notes? Like, I need to do this now. And that's because it's a day of.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I just don't get nervous until it's here.
That's what you said to me. That's a window into like managing,
yes,
managing anxiety. And you don't even have anxiety. That wouldn't, you can't describe it as anxiety. What you're doing is actually just going about your day. Like what you're saying right now is so foreign to me. The second I hear about it, I have a job and that's to worry about it.
No, I can't. I can't. If I think about it, because then it takes over.
Yes.
And then it's going to consume my brain. And
100%.
I'm like, I don't want you to take over my day. I want to go about my regular day. So I won't think about it until the day of. That's... I'll prepare, but I won't let it get into my head. You know, Cole used to have crazy anxiety about sleeping out. And he used to go to therapy. And I bet the therapist really got me into it.
Really?
Her way of thinking, like, don't allow that little thought in your head to take over. And somehow it just clicked.
How do you remember what he or she said?
She used to call it the whittle. So when Whittle is saying, you know, like, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, she's like, pretty much tell Whittle to shut up and just don't think about it.
Okay.
She's like, just know, think of something funny and think that this isn't a real thought in your head. This is just something trying to mess with you. So go about your regular day and don't worry about that thought.
I like that.
So try to remember
so
Whittle.
Hard.
She was great.
it's true though. What she's saying is true. It's almost like you're encapsulating it. So it's creating a separation.
Yes.
In the brain, in the psyche, whatever yep. it is. Oh, there's that thing, but I am not that thing. That part is really hard for me.
It's hard because the thought is real. It's
100%.
So I used to be afraid to sleep in a house by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So my ex, if he would go out, I would have a panic attack and not be able to sleep. And then you had to go to work. So then I would become so irritable. There would be a thought in my head that someone is going to break in and they're going to kill Cole. Like these are the things. And it was real. I would move furniture. We had a house alarm. Like you name it, I did it. Like literally move an armoire in front of the door. And I still couldn't sleep. Don't know why.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing.
It's terrible.
Like, it's very interesting, though. Mm-hmm. All right, let me at least say why I'm laughing, because I never was afraid to do that, to be alone, until I had kids. Because okay. I lived in the city. I mean, I just wasn't afraid of stuff yep. like that. It didn't even register on my radar. Then when I had kids and my husband would travel, for I felt so vulnerable.
Yeah.
But I could sleep. I just would be like, yeah, I'm super, I'd be listening throughout the house. And, but then I would go to sleep and that would be the end of it.
No.
So what did
it took over. It'd be the whole night. I'd be like, oh my God, did you hear that? Like, what is that noise? And then I would look in the camera. I'm like, somebody out there? Like, it was insane.
That's really hard.
I do not know why. Nothing ever happened. There was never an intruder. I have no clue what, maybe I watched too many scary movies as a kid.
But that could be.
Now I could do it. Now I'm fine sleeping alone. Sometimes I prefer it. Like, but if Kev sleeps out, I do make Cole sleep in the room. Like I'll set up a mattress thing on the floor. So me, Cole, and Gizmo were barricaded in a room.
And so he knows, because you took the question out of my mouth. I was going to say, do you think Cole knows? He definitely knows.
Oh, he knows. He makes fun of it. He's like, nobody is coming in. We have a house alarm. And I'm like, look, just put the bar in the door. So like we have this bar that sits against the door so people can't get in, even though Kevin's like, you know, they just have to push something under the door. I'm like, okay. So now I went a step further.
Hit him with the bar. Mm-hmm. Shut up.
Yep. So now... And Cole isn't afraid at all.
Right. I don't. So, he doesn't strike me as being afraid. He's also 6 foot a billion. Like, I really wouldn't mess with him if I came into your house. But
maybe I feel safer now that he has some muscle on him.
He's big.
But we do have like the ladder. the emergency ladder. Oh, that
you
goes
swing out
the
if there's a fire. You know, that's not a bad idea.
I have one of those. I was going to get a fire blanket. Like, these right. are the things that I think of.
I do think about that. What if there's an emergency?
Yeah, because on the second floor, where are we jumping?
I know. Not I'm gonna ending break well. Exactly. Yep. I used
the
to
kids
have
will
those
be fine.
Things.
It's us.
Yeah, we'd be. Yeah.
And the dog. What right. do we do with the dog?
Right, I know. Yep. I don't know. On mm-hmm. your arm, I guess. In a blanket? I don't know.
Now you need a dog bag.
I know. Yeah, it's true. So how did you get crap? I forget what the word is.
I don't
like
I don't
kick
know.
It to the curb. Do you remember?
It just happened.
Really?
Like, literally just happened. So after my ex and I split, I had to live by myself.
Yeah.
That
really forced you into it. That's interesting.
So I moved into a townhouse. It was smaller than the house I was in. So there weren't as many doors and windows.
But yeah. But you were by yourself, yourself.
Just with Cole and Gizmo. So it was fine. My ex used to sleep on the couch, which
that's nice to make you comfortable.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no. Okay. We'll go with that excuse.
Yeah, just leave it. Yeah. He would just tended to come sleep on the couch sometimes.
That's okay.
You just can't cut that cord sometimes.
Well, yeah.
You could get married, divorced, but when you have a kid, it is.
It's for life. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
So then living alone, I just was able to conquer that fear. Because you had pushed into it with no choice.
Right. Because I just want to point out here that you were open to getting through that fear because you could have stayed in the marriage for it.
Yeah.
Well, on some level, right? You know, like it could have ruled your life completely. It was ruling your life enough.
Yes.
But I would say like 50% it was ruling
your life.
That
comfort zone. You could stay in it to
be
comfortable.
But you got out.
Yes.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
And now you still have little smatterings of it, it sounds like.
Yes. See, I need the alarm. I need every door and window alarmed. I also need that the motion alarm.
Yeah. You have all that.
Just in case they came in through some hole somewhere.
See, that would make me more nervous. The stuff you're describing, I'm actually getting anxiety listening to it. Oh, no. I have to know what this
stuff
means.
No, don't get it. Don't get it.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, just having the alarm is enough. Most people are fine with just the alarm.
Right.
But the alarm has gone off in the middle of the night just by some random thing.
That would be the end of the alarm for me.
It sounds like a woman screaming on the top of her
lungs. That's great. That's nice.
Cole has slept through it.
He has.
Uh-huh. Kevin could sleep. Yep. Kevin could sleep through anything. I'm like.
Do you shoot out of bed?
Yeah. Shoot out.
I would like wet my pants.
Literally. And I always get nervous. Cole's like, there's no one here. I'm like,
I know. Why is it going up? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's right.
Yes.
He's right.
He just doesn't get nervous. So now. Fast forward to Stokes that's coming up. Mm. Remember, I'm going to be sleeping in that van by myself.
Yeah, we need to say what this is. So in our school district, there's an annual, I think it used to be sixth grade. It's seventh grade now, right?
It's sixth grade, but because of COVID, they missed it.
Okay. So there's an
annual. So lucky us, they're having it.
Yeah, right. Yep. They didn't totally wash it away. Mm-hmm. There's an annual camping trip for sixth graders in which they go for 4 days to the woods in New Jersey. And camp.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%.
Just old school.
Right. Cabins.
Yep. Roughing.
Roughing it. And you're going. So they ask the parents if they'll go, which I thought maybe I'll go. My whole family did what you're doing right now. They laughed. Oh, yeah, you're going to go?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I think it would be nice. My son's not going, though.
What?
He opted out of it.
Come on.
These are my renegade kids. I was like, you don't, he's like, no, mom, I have an opportunity to go to Assateague, which is this horse island off of Maryland.
Why can't I go to that?
I'm going to go do that. That's a really rare opportunity.
It is.
I said, the only thing is that I said, if you compare apples to apples, camping to camping, because he's camping on Assateague as well. Yes, I see your point. However, the camaraderie that is formed from this thing, sleeping in the woods, you know, you guys are going to be telling stories for years to come about this Stokes thing. So are you okay with missing that? He's like, yeah, I'll see you later. I'm not going. And I was like, all
good
right.
For him. He's so independent, though. So my He's always had like, his own like thought process.
He totally does.
Yeah.
My husband's like, well, do you still want to go, Lauren? I was like, okay, wise guy.
Yeah, I'm going to go in Nicole and I'm going to stay in the camper with her.
Nicole rented a camper. So I was like, I don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't want to stay with other people.
Because there's like 15 women per cabin. That's, and people snore.
No, I can't handle it.
And the beds
are from when I went.
I don't, yeah.
They actually are. 40-year-old mattresses.
They probably are. The mattresses are the same.
100%. Yeah.
And I'm not staying. So I'm going to be sleeping in this van thing by myself in the woods. So I haven't figured out what booby traps I'm going to put on that thing.
So that, this is great. We need a picture of this.
I'll get a picture.
100%. We're going to take a little tour of Nicole's van. Mm. So you rented like a luxury van and you're going to sleep. Where'd you find this thing?
Outdoorsy.com.
Why did I ask?
Yeah.
All right. For sponsorship, see?
Outdoorsy.com.
So you rented this thing. You're going to drive it up.
Yep.
Are you going to tailgate the bus in front, the sixth grade bus?
Depending on what time they leave.
And then you know what's going to happen. People are going to try to sleep in this thing with you.
I mean, there's really just a full bed.
Okay, because you're going to have might be people some trying room. To get in there.
I think other people sleep in there if they have like large trucks.
Right.
They do sleep in those. Oh, or some sleep in tents.
Do they?
I can't do a tent.
The cabin.
Yeah.
A tent is the kiss of death. You're basically sleeping on plywood.
You're it's out in so the open. By the way, that people can get in.
I know. See, I don't even have.
You don't have that fear.
No, not that.
Oh, yeah. Like somebody, they just have to unzip.
Yeah, that would freak. That's a good point. I mean, I'm standing here in my house saying, no, I'd be fine. I don't know if that's true. I really don't. Yeah, that would freak me out a little bit.
Oh,
I know.
Some people love it. It's just not for me.
So you're, how do we even get on this? Because you said you were afraid to go in the sleep in the cabin.
So
you're in a, right.
Yeah. So this will be another fear of being conquered.
But yeah, because it didn't prevent you from going. See, that's the interesting thing. It didn't. You didn't say, oh, forget it. I'm not going.
Because my fear of something happening to Cole is larger than my fear of sleeping.
You're going to make sure he's. Well, that's cool.
I mean, total. It is. He had like the medical condition.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I totally forgot about that. I'd be like driving the bus up there.
So now I'm going to sleep just in case something happens.
Right. Yep. Oh, you're amazing.
Well, we'll see how it goes, right? But
you're amazing.
We can only stay two of the nights because he has a basketball tournament in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So I get to go from camping to Lancaster.
To take him to the tournament.
Yeah.
I love that you're going camping just to look out for him. That's like an amazing, this is good mom.
It'll be a great experience.
This is the essence of good mom.
Well, I just did that beautiful Poconos house. I'm getting used to it here for Soaks.
What did you do?
So my family and I rented a house on the lake.
Nice.
So it was very outdoorsy.
That's cool.
You know, canoeing.
Oh, so you're trying to break yourself
in. Yeah, here we go. I'm getting ready. One with nature. Mind you, the house was like this large.
Yeah, that doesn't get not the same.
I mean, just the outdoorsy part was
because it was in the woods.
Yes.
So when you're going to be out there, and then we'll get off this, are you also working?
Yep.
Okay. So they're really doing it.
I'm arts and crafts.
You're really doing it. Mm-hmm. That's perfect for you. Mm. This is huge.
They assign you something. I picked arts and crafts or hiking.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I guess arts and crafts will be better. I think the hike's like 5 miles. What if a kid gets hurt? Like, I don't know. I'm good with this. I'll go hiking solo on like a break.
Construction paper. Yeah. I hear you.
Glitter. Like. All right. So what are your kids afraid of?
Oh my gosh. That's such a good point. Question. They don't seem to be afraid of anything.
That's so good. You don't realize it, but I've been around a lot of children with anxiety and fears, and it honestly takes over their lives. Like, you name it, they have it. Like, lice, ticks, things that you wouldn't even think of, and it will completely make or break their day.
It's foreign to me.
Yeah.
I don't even know that they don't have fears until you're asking me.
Yes.
They're not afraid of anything to the extent that when you and I were talking, I said, I actually think I spend my days trying to instill fear in them.
Which is the opposite of most parents.
Right. I don't know where it came from either. But yeah, they no. Okay, here we go. They're just not. They're not. I like they told me they this is like here we go. This is definitely so they slept over a friend's house on over break. and they're talking to me off the cuff. I don't typically grill my kids about what they're doing.
Okay.
Sometimes I do. That's not true. But with this stuff, I'll just say, how was it? You know, like open the door for a conversation. Good, fun. We did this and this. And then at dinner, it comes out. Oh, no. You know why it came out? Oh, see, I don't know if this is like too personal, but now it's too late. My husband was like, somehow my husband picked up on, he notices stuff like this. I don't. He's like, you guys were out without bike helmets.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a big no-no.
It's huge. And they know it's huge. And so, but I didn't get the whole story at 10 o'clock at night on the west side of Red Bank.
Oh, so wow. If you do- oh, wow. Cole would be dead. You would not be at school today.
I was like, good mom's eyes just fell out of her head.
I'm going to crawl under the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my four kids to plate, I slammed my hand. You what? And they were like, and they didn't even know that that was like, yeah. And I was like,
wow.
Okay. No, you cannot do that.
Yep.
Like after dark, you're in an urban environment, I'm saying to my son.
Yep.
Red Bank isn't really a city, Mom. This is the response I get. Right. I was like, yeah, it actually is considered a city around here. He's been to New York. He's been to major cities all over the place. Oh, I said, it has mass transit. It's a city, my friend.
Yeah.
That's an urban environment. Trucks, lots of people coming and going.
Lots of people.
So they're on the west side of Red Bank at 10 o'clock at night. With a not a working cell phone.
Oh, no.
Biking.
It gets so like.
It keeps getting worse.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like.
Were you, like, how did you know? Did you read?
Dan, my husband, had the wherewithal to say, I know that the family you were staying with, whom I love dearly. I just want to state that 3,000 times. This is not. I love them dearly. They don't use bike helmets.
Okay.
I didn't know that. And it's not my preference.
Yep.
And so he had
By the way, a lot of kids don't.
Picks up on this, which I wouldn't have, which is, I know.
Yeah.
But like I wear a bike helmet.
Okay.
Like that's, and I have been, since my kids were on bikes.
Okay.
And this is, I'm talking really young. So, you know, they started riding bike. They never had training wheels. Like- they started riding bikes at two. No joke. They turned to me one day and were like, Mom, you really should wear a helmet. And I was like, you're right. And so I wore a helmet.
It is
ever
weird
since.
That we make them wear them. I don't wear one.
Because it looks horrendous.
Yes.
I get it. I feel like a dweeb, some sort of penis riding around on a bike.
I do have those thoughts when I see the adults with
them. I look like, I look like such a tool. So I got like the coolest helmet I could find.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I might as well like, but I'm wearing this stupid helmet. I've been wearing it. So too, my son's so for like 11 years, I've been wearing this helmet. So they don't wear, I guess they don't use helmets. And my husband picks up on this and was like, you guys, he didn't make any kind of thing about the not wearing helmets. But when he heard they were on the bikes, then he puts it together.
Yeah.
You guys weren't wearing helmets. And oh, by the way, it was 10 o'clock at night.
Oh.
And oh, by the way, you were on the west side of Red Bank, which if you're listening from afar, is just, it's a more volatile area.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a more volatile area.
I mean, I feel
area.
Like around here, parents are more aware because the kids just ride in the middle of the road and we just know like
it's
terrible, but
yeah.
You're always looking.
Yeah. I wasn't. You know, that's interesting. I actually was less concerned about the getting hit. That was first, but that area is not a good, it's just not a great area. The stuff goes down there.
I think
there's still gang crime over there. And so I was like, that terrified me. But here I am at the dinner table saying to them, like trying to explain why you can't do this. And my son, he should be a litigator kind of politician.
I agree.
Okay,
with you.
Mom, I understand. I just didn't know that. He's looking me in the eye. Right. Thank you. That's what
He's
I'm getting.
So good.
You've never said that before. And I like slammed my fist. I was like,
you
I am
tell
not
us.
Going to be able to break down everything you can just do.
You know that's wrong.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were at the water. Like it. Yeah. Yeah. So
some, by the way, though, some kid. This is a problem that Cole and I have because a lot of kids have a lot of freedom. Cole does not.
Right.
And he gets on my case all the time. You know, so-and-so's out till 10 o'clock. And I'm like, you're out on a bike. It's dark. You don't have a light. And even if you had a stupid light, I still wouldn't let you out in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
If you want me to drive you to someone's house, fine. But, and he's like, wait, I still have to be home at like 9:30. I'm like, you're 12. Like, what do you want? But some kids have a ton of freedom and they give us a bad rap because our kids don't have it.
Yeah. I had that over break also because I like them home at 9:30.
Yeah.
And this was just in our town in Fairhaven. And I was wanting, Oh, they wanted to ride bikes and it was dark. And so I don't like the bike riding at dark either. Mom, everyone else is
everybody's
doing
allowed.
I can't show up in a car. Fine. Yep. I'll just walk. And my husband and I were like, we don't want you walking. So I let him ride the bike. He has lights on the bike. I don't like it.
Oh, yours
it one
has
bit.
Lights. Mine doesn't even have lights.
I still don't like it. I don't like it at all.
No. Well, I mean, they're so young.
They're so young. There's teenagers. Yeah. I said, if I ever, I don't normally make blank threats like this. I try not to threaten parents. Like, it's not a good way to parent.
I know, it's not.
It's not.
Well, they should just know the rules and these are the consequences.
Yeah.
Not, if you do this once, then you have another try. It's terrible.
It's true, though.
We learned it as being a teacher. Like, the principal will come in and say, you can't say, if you do this again, that this is going to happen. Okay. They need to know when you do it once, this is the consequence.
Okay.
And don't yell, just... And he was so good.
Right.
The kids would just know.
I really like that.
Yeah. No yelling. Just they knew.
That's what I said to him. If I catch you riding the bike using the telephone, it's gone.
Okay.
Gone, gone, gone. That I feel is extraordinarily dangerous.
Pull over and do that. That should be common sense.
Whatever you're doing is not as important as just riding the bicycle. I don't want the head not on the road, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't be looking at the phone while you're on the bike.
Please. I agree.
Mm-mm. And I don't let them use earbuds when they're out. That I don't think is safe. Listening to music or whatever it is.
They're lucky they can walk.
Right.
I know. You know, it's hard to do two things at once.
No,
if you have earbuds in, you're not going to hear a car. You're not going to hear a person.
That's what I'm afraid of. No.
Yeah. I like to just drive him where he's going and then pick him up.
Yeah, I get it.
But a lot of them have a ton of freedom here. It makes it very difficult for the parents that aren't giving all that freedom.
They're definitely allowed out later, for sure, than my kids. And I hear about that.
I hear about it all the time.
I don't want it.
He just wrote an essay for school. Why my curfew should be later.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was his essay. I'm like, you have good points, but it's not becoming later.
It was a well-structured essay. Yeah. However, I'll see you at 9 o'clock.
No, seriously. I think one time I let him stay out till 9:30, but I was picking him up where he was. I'm not allowing him. They always want to play manhunt and stuff.
Like, I know. That's what they're doing now.
What is that? In the dark.
Maybe it's like a precursor to making out. Like, as you said it, I'm just saying to myself, oh, no.
Yeah.
But actually, I think it's only one. I mean, never mind.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm like, see, I'm so old school. I was like, it's only one gender there, but that could still be making out, I guess.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, because I'm totally not with the times. I'm with the times, baby. I'm loose.
Yeah, you're loose. You're loose. You're the cool mom.
I decided I was going to take a good mom's saying from the last episode about, I can't even say it. So when we were talking about social... Actually stepping out of our comfort zones. And Nicole says, okay, I stepped out of my comfort zone socially. I was out with a big group and I decided I wasn't going to drink. It's super awkward for me to do that, but I decided to own it and do it. And I did feel a little funny. And then we started to get into why does that happen? Because it's happened to me also.
Mm-hmm.
And I dabble in drinking and I dabble in not drinking. I've been on a stint of not drinking for a while. But I don't want to say like, I don't do X or I do X just because I tend to fluctuate. But right
I'll
now,
drink
I
if I
been.
Only if Kevin and I get out solo or something.
Yeah, I like to have a drink once in a while. Yes. Also, I just haven't. I said I was trying to hack my sleep.
Haven't.
It's so nerdy, but it's true. So Nicole says, I think sometimes people think, if you're not, you know, you have to have the drink so that you can be loose. And then Nicole says, I'm loose, people.
Yeah, like we could be fun and not drink. Like you don't need alcohol to have fun.
I like that you have to yell it though.
Yeah, it's like, I am loose. Like, right, we're like, fun.
I am loose, people. If we have to yell it, because one of my parents got a stress test. It's like some kind of thing where you go to the hospital and they monitor your heart.
Okay. Yes. I've
so I turned to the parent. I'm not saying which parent it was because I don't know. I always hear it, and actually that'll lead to our next episode about we're going to talk about public versus private. I actually have no idea what the difference is, but so my family is constantly saying like, why'd you share share that.
Always.
So I'm trying to protect the innocent here, but this, which I don't think it's embarrassing to have a stress test, but I will hear it that it shouldn't have been shared. So one of the parents, I have a
My parents both had, I think my dad definitely had it.
Right. It's like a thing. Okay. So I turn to this parent and I say, I'll say the parent was driving at the time I asked the question, but it reminds me of your Loose People, because I was like, oh, by the way, so-and-so, how'd the stress test go? And the person was like, fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. And I turn around, I whip my head around, and I look at the person, and the person realizes the way they've answered that, and I start laughing, and they're like, yeah, right? Good, good. That was a good sign. So like, you might want to go back and get another one. Mm-hmm. All right. Back to fear. Maybe we do like one more or something. I don't know. Okay. What do you think? I don't know. What are your thoughts here on this?
Well, when fear arises.
Maybe we close out by like spend a little time on tools.
Okay.
Which I think you were just about to do. Yep. So we're going to talk about just some ways to manage fear.
Well, they say don't let it linger.
Okay.
So if it comes into your head, don't allow it to take over.
Okay, that's huge.
You want to know what is causing it. Fearless people realize that fear is not so much about what scares you, but about why it scares you.
What does that... Okay, so what? Can you break that down a little?
Like biology. You are designed to be scared of it. So there are a number of things that we are genetically predisposed to be afraid of. So snakes, insects, some people are deathly afraid. Some people are not. So that would just mean you're genetically predisposed.
So the person can say to themselves, oh, there's a snake wrapping itself around my ankle.
Oh.
This is a snake and it would be normal to be afraid of it, but let me just deal with the snake.
How about the dead mouse that was in my garage yesterday that I almost had a heart attack and Kevin picks up by the tail.
Right.
To dispose of it.
Right.
Like,
right.
Why is he okay with it and I'm not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so true. My husband says this to me all the time. He's like, you lived in New York City for 10 years. You're afraid of a mouse?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah. Maybe you're not afraid of big rats because maybe you saw them there, but
I did see a lot of big rats. I don't know that I'd love to see one in my house, though.
No.
I'm going to blame my mom for the mouse fear. She like climbs up the wall.
Oh.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like screaming, shrieking up the wall.
No.
So, yeah.
I think both of my parents have disposed of them.
My kids will walk up and pet them.
Oh, yeah. Your kids are, they're a different being. They really are. It's the way you raise them, though.
I would love, thank you. I of course, can't take credit for that, but you're right. I totally should.
Well, think about the pain part. Most kids are afraid of pain.
Yeah.
You have somehow configured your children to not fear pain.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Yeah. I try. We try to breathe through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't do Band-Aids. I'm anti-Band-Aid. I'm an anti-Band-Aid.
You really don't do Band-Aids?
No. I let it air dry. Let the air get to it.
Really? And I'm like, Cole, put a Band-Aid on it. You don't want anything getting in it. He's like, Mom, it needs air.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah, no, okay, I don't like Band-Aids.
Are you hanging out over their house or something? Like, when did this come into play?
Nay, I don't know. I feel like Band-Aids are like for sissies.
Okay, there you go.
But that's insane, right?
Yeah.
It's totally insane. I get that. But my kids.
So if they fall down and they get a big cut on their knee, are they going to cry?
No, they don't really cry. My daughter took a bike ride in a bikini when she was like, how old is she now? 11. She was probably six, maybe six or seven.
Okay.
All right. Let's go with seven. She wanted to go to the toy store. Not super far from our house. It does involve a main road. I wasn't thinking clearly. I know that probably occurred to you well earlier into the segment. But I was like, oh, so cute and summery. Bikini on a bicycle. Well, she fell.
Okay.
And so, because, you know, around here we do wear the bathing suit on the bicycle. Yep. Look, I've definitely seen that from all ages. So I send her off with a little bit of money, a backpack,
oh gosh,
helmet, bikini, great looking bikini, lemons on it, and the bike. And then I get a knock at my door. I'm in an apron. I'm making dinner. And it's someone I've never met before. I think this is your daughter. Oh my gosh, fell off her bike. I drove her and her bike home.
No.
Yeah. And my daughter is scraped the whole body. I mean, she had no clothes on, essentially.
Yes.
Scraped up the and of course I'm like, we have to treat the abdomen first. We don't want it to scar.
Like that much. Like,
oh, it
damage.
Was really it was really she hit some kind of gravel patch in front of our firehouse, which has like a lot of in and out traffic, you know, like after the winter when there are those gravel patches that collect and then they'll clean the road. So she hit one of those trying to turn and just the whole bike skidded out from underneath her. She went flying along the pavement.
Wow.
It was the real deal. Like she was really scraped up. She was definitely shaken. Maybe she was like had a couple tears, but not crying a lot. And we just like she couldn't sleep with sheets on her
for a week.
Yeah. It was significant.
Wow.
And we just dealt with it, but no band-aids were involved. Huh. And, I will say like, if we ever did any kind of sponsorship, I use this. It's totally natural. This probiotic spray for your skin. It's completely natural.
Oh, that's how you clean it out.
I just put the spray on it.
And
my husband's
burn?
Like, we need to wash the gravel out of it. No, so he did that.
Oh,
I know.
I can't
know.
Do it.
I know. Me too. I'm the worst. I would have left it there. He's like, I don't think you should leave that there.
No, Kev got it. I could never do it. Kevin could handle it.
Yeah, the guys.
You need one. Somebody to do it. I can't. And then I think I'm hurting him. Cole would do it himself now.
I know. Same with these kids.
Yeah. Like they'd be like, here, just pour it on.
Yeah. No, I can't do it either. No. So the school nurse, just to like close out what you said about the pain thing, the school nurse says to me, your kids are really good with pain. She's like, I had a whole office because when I had them, I had to learn how to work. And we will talk about this totally in a different segment. I'm not going to go into it now, but I had to learn how to work with pain. We'll just leave it at that. So my understanding is that you try to open to pain.
Okay.
That's like, and I do work on this actually daily, but you try to open to pain. So the idea is that when you push pain away, it gets worse.
Okay.
So our normal reaction to pain is to tighten and to make a loud noise. So you're expending all of this energy fighting against the pain, whereas you can just kind of like collapse and soften into it, right?
We don't
need to yell when you hit your foot on the corner of the molding. We don't need to yell. That's actually not helping. Maybe it gets
especially
like the family
yelling
around
profanity.
You. Right. It might get the family around you like, are you okay? You klutz. What
That's
did you
exactly
do?
What you do, too.
That's
you
what
just
you do.
Scream.
Scream.
Yep.
A curse word.
Yep.
And then double over, start grabbing it.
Yep.
You're tense.
Yes.
You're tight. Right.
What am I supposed to do?
That doesn't work. I had to learn this
work.
For giving
You're
birth.
Right.
You can't, because I couldn't get the baby out of my body if I'm tight. Right. So what you have
That's
to
a whole
do.
Other segment.
Yeah. We'll go into that on a different segment, but it's the same concept. You have to open to the pain. The pain comes in waves if you really study it. It comes in waves. It has a different intensity. You'll feel it in different parts of your body.
Okay.
So if, like, you can kind of get meditative with it, which I get is easy for me to say when I'm sitting here and we're recording a podcast, like someone hasn't dropped a skillet on my head.
Yep.
But it does make a difference. I've studied it tremendously. When I can soften, no one likes that word. When I can open to the pain, it'll leave the body quicker.
Okay.
It does, because you're not expending all this energy to struggle against it. So this is what I'll say to my kids. Okay, can we just try to grabbing and squeezing? No, just try to sit and let it pass through your body. That's what we do.
I'll try it.
So they do it. They do it. I mean, whether or not they're thinking like my impossible pain in the neck mom said to do this, I don't know. But
no, I mean,
even the school
moms.
Nurse said like, I've had a lot of kids in here with a lot more minor injuries, and yours are the ones sitting and waiting patiently for me, not complaining and making a scene about it. And they're like, the kneecap is falling out, you know, whatever my son did that day at school.
That's great to learn.
Yeah.
Because you know they're going to get it. There's going to be a lot of pain management that they're going to have to be able to handle.
In life.
Yep.
And I don't always do it successfully. I definitely don't. Like, I'll curse and get mad and try to blame somebody. None of that helps, though.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It's just like when we yell at our kids.
Yeah.
It doesn't help at all.
Exactly.
Mm-mm.
So I think it's the same as what you're saying, actually, about being with the fear. It's actually the same thing.
Yep.
So you're saying that
you can use your techniques.
No, right, that fear is just a part of life. When you said that, What are some of those things you had? So they know it's just a part of life.
It could be from like past experience.
That's so true.
Something scared you a lot in your past.
Yeah.
It could be learned and conditioned.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's so true. I think a lot of it is.
Yeah. With forecasting, you worry about the future.
Right.
Things that could occur.
Yeah.
When just don't, just live in the present.
Right. Good mom says this like it's so easy.
Just don't let those just don't little do thoughts
that.
In.
Don't do that, Lauren. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't let the negative thoughts in your head. Just think about your day and then go on to the next day.
And you really do that.
I really do that.
I'm like in awe. Magical stars are floating up when I'm looking at
you. See,
and
I'm in awe of the pain management. I can't do that. My pain threshold it is so low.
So maybe we could push each other to do this stuff then, because I have the worst anxiety. I'm probably in some kind of like psychologist manual somewhere that they're using in Harvard.
I love you, like you and my significant other. You are very similar.
Yeah, when you talk about it.
Like he'll be like, so you're not thinking about this, and this. And I'm like, I'd really like to go in a helicopter for my birthday. And he's like, are you crazy? We're not going in a helicopter.
That's
and I'm
awesome.
Like, oh, no. Okay, then I'll have to go by myself.
See, that I love. I'll do that with you.
Okay,
love helicopters.
See, and you don't get scared of that. That's great.
No, I don't for whatever reason. Love, 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 love.
There we go.
But my husband is like you in that regard of I'll say to him, aren't you worried about X? And he'll look over at me. He has no clue what I'm talking about. Then he has to get his legs under him and figure out what I'm talking about. And he'll be like, no.
No. Yeah. No. Not at all.
And I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah. Like, I forget what we just went through and Kevin had the most insane thoughts that I would never. Oh, we were talking about switching a flight. So he's like, if we switch the flight and then we die in the one that we switched, then like it was me going. And he's like, then it's on me because I switched your flight. Or if I don't switch your flight, then it's on me because I didn't switch your flight. And I'm like, how do you even think of these things? Like, all I'm thinking about is which flight I'm going to take.
More convenient.
Like,
Right, 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 right. 100%.
But his brain totally goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you, like, I need him to explain it to me because
it's foreign to you.
Yeah.
It's totally foreign.
I'm like, no, I would never have even thought about that.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I have that, but not with flying, but the thoughts do crop up sometimes, but then I just go forward. It's interesting that it does get you to different degrees on different things, which then makes me think it's past stuff like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
We have to.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So that's
self-confidence. There's no better antidote to fear than self-confidence.
That one bothered me. And then I tried to look at why, because I have this new theory that if something's bothering me, then it's letting me know there's something underneath that. Wah, wah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's because I don't find myself to be self-confident at all.
You actually do this and you don't know you do it.
I don't think I know. I think I don't do it. And then I'm the worst human being on the face of the earth.
Your ability to handle your fear. You do.
Yeah.
You handle it, and you handle it with grace.
And I don't even know that.
You don't
at all.
You're doing it.
I totally don't. Yeah.
It's, you do it. Like, your actions speak. You actually do it.
See, I don't even, I'm like, I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I completely don't. I think the self-confidence thing is helpful because I think there are ways that we can make ourselves feel a little bit better about our abilities. And those do make a difference. They're just hard to do. You know, we don't see it as a necessary thing in our day to do.
No.
But I have noticed that if I'm really nervous about going on camera and giving an interview, if I watch my previous work, some of it beforehand, then I feel better.
That's smart. I see
myself doing it and I'm like, oh, that was good. You know, maybe I'm not saying I'm good, but I like the whole overall feel of it. And I just feel like I'm
capable of doing it.
Connected with it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
When I can let go of all that stuff, I'm at ease, I'm at home, and I can do it. So I can see how we could do these small things to make us feel a little more grounded in our abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was helpful.
Next episode. What are we going to do for the next one?
Okay, so for the next episode, and then I don't know if we want to say comfort zone, but we kind of, this was a gigantic comfort zone one, but we could. So we kind of talked about, I don't know, what do you think?
I guess we could do one short thing that we stepped out.
Okay.
So every segment.
Okay. Okay. So Good Mom and I talked about at the end of every segment, talking about ways in which we have stepped out of our comfort zone. And we talked about making this a recurring theme because then we almost, it pushes us to weekly step out of our comfort zone as yes. opposed to like once in a while we'll talk about comfort zone. No, we're going to live by a mentor of mine says, I walk the talk, you know, if you, because he works on the weekdays with clients. If you catch me on the weekend in the grocery store when I'm off my guard, I'm still going to be walking the talk yeah. that I'm teaching you guys. And so I think this for us is a big one.
Yes.
And we also, not only do we want to do it for ourselves and share it with each other, we want to share it with you in an effort to inspire you to bring it into your own life. So definitely, I like this idea of the comfort zone. So at the end of every episode, we're going to talk about, Nicole and I are going to talk about ways that we stepped out of our comfort zone that previous week. So what did I do? I did a sunrise photo shoot with a new friend, colleague of mine for Instagram. We've been photographing our cars in the area on the Jersey Shore.
That was nice.
Thank you. Yeah, this is like major out of my comfort zone work for me.
Loved your outfit, by the way.
You did?
Yes, the pants.
They're all vegan.
Yeah, I knew they were. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, those look like really cool leather pants.
They're
no, they're vegan.
Vegan line.
Yep.
Yeah. It's, see, I don't know if we want to, you know, we're going to do this.
I'm going to write that.
This is great because we're talking about things that we love. But yeah, these were great vegan leather pants. The coat, it was a shearling coat, a vegan shearling leather coat. It was incredible. Yeah, but that was very uncomfortable for me. So it was a photo shoot. We decided we're going to put our cars, which are unique cars for the area, and we're going to put them in beautiful, what we deem to be beautiful spots along the water in
pretty.
Our area. Thank you.
Yeah, it came out great.
Thank you. Thank you. So we did that one. Then we did another one yesterday morning. We got out there at 6 a.m. and did this shoot with the cars at sunrise. He really wanted to do sunrise. So he's a lot younger than me. He's like in his 20s. He's super car person.
Okay.
And this is like his world. So I'm kind of like getting into his world, which is uncomfortable for me.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, oh, am I too old? No, that's
no.
just that's a fear. Like,
yes.
just get out there and do it. Get out there and do it. Oh, am I going to tire myself out if I get up, you know, at that
5 a.m.?
Just get out there. I was like, I'm going to wake my whole family up with my car. But I did it and it was really pretty magical. And it was for me, I'm very uncomfortable with photo shoots. I'm more comfortable talking.
By the way, we did ours and you would never know it.
You did yours?
You and I, when we did ours, you would never know that you were uncomfortable.
Yeah. You know what?
You were very confident in it.
I was.
Yes, which made me feel more confident.
I was thinking you were very confident.
Oh my God, I
that
hate the camera.
That actually made me more comfortable.
I hate the camera.
That's interesting.
And remember we were on that little dock?
Oh my God.
Like I thought we were going to fall in.
It was like 30 degrees.
It was so cold.
We were in heels. The dock was starting
in
to
white
decay.
Pants.
In white pants. Can't see through the water at all.
No, no, no. All I kept thinking was
no
I'm
one's
gonna
around.
Go in. No.
This is the
no,
end.
Yeah.
We're going to capture the end.
Yes. Oh, we did it gracefully and we got good
and
pictures.
It looked great. It looked great.
Yeah.
It was like freezing and the wind was ripping. Not
the
only
wind
was it cold, but the wind was ripping through there.
Then you had to set up your tripod on
there. I
thought
it was going to blow into the Nana sink.
Yeah, I don't know how you did it. But then you even said we had to turn it around and do it the other way.
Definitely.
And the pictures came out great.
They came out great. And you're glad I was so glad we did that.
Yes.
I saw the pictures. I was like, I am so glad we did this.
I was
totally nervous about it beforehand.
Very nervous.
Same with this thing with these car shoots. Totally nervous about it. Completely.
You pushed yourself out of your comfort
zone. I did, yeah. I'm glad I did it.
And it was great.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's hard.
It's super hard. Yeah. A zillion excuses.
Yes.
Go through my head.
Yes.
So this is helpful. See it as fear. Say it doesn't have to define me. And go forward. Right. Easier
Beautiful.
Said than. So what's yours?
All right. So I'm very big on family.
You are huge on family.
Okay, so
Good
I always
mom.
Listen to my parents.
Oh, you mean like, entire family.
Yeah, the entire.
Massive.
So,
which is
mom,
refreshing.
Sister, brother-in-law, nephews, Kev's dad. Like, we were all planning on going away for spring break, but like to Pennsylvania. So we had like 15 houses that we were going to pick. And I'm the only one that picked this one house. And I liked it because, honestly, like if I'm going to go away, I need something that's going to be comparable to where we live now because I don't want to go sleep in like a nasty bed. And like we did it once and there was like just nasty. Like I
It's not a vacation.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I just
we
think,
do need
I don't
to hear
about
that one time, though. We definitely need to hear about
so
that.
So it was okay.
Was there blood on there?
No, there was just like mouse droppings. Like,
oh, yeah. Yes.
So like,
I've had that
because, you know, it's in a cabin. You're in the woods. Like, it's going to happen. So this one house that I picked didn't have it. So I'm like, all right, I want to pick this house. My dad was totally
against
it.
What did you do about the mouse droppings, by the way?
I had to sleep in that room.
Yeah. Were they on the sheets? Mine were on the sheets.
Oh, God. No, it was on the floor under the bed.
Oh, you found it. What were you doing under the bed?
Well, we had to move the two beds together.
Oh,
it was like
two
twin beds.
Yeah.
And we had to move them together.
And
as I'm moving,
I'm
like,
oh, no.
What the hell are these little black things? And I'm like, Kevin's like, I don't think you want to know. I'm like,
oh,
my God.
No. Okay. Oh, no. Okay.
Yep. So... anyway, I wasn't staying in a house like that again. So I'm like, look, I like this house. So I had to go against my parents. Like, my mom liked the house. My dad was like, no, this is like 30 acres solo. Those people with the masks are going to come knock on your doors. You're already afraid. And I'm like,
what masks?
It's like, there was a movie. Did you ever see the movie? And they come with like masks to this like house and they knock on the doors to like kill them.
No. You should not
I've only
be
seen
watching
the previews.
This
I didn't watch the
Don't
movie. My
watch
dad watched
the preview.
It. But then he had me thinking that this is what's going to happen. And he already knows I'm afraid.
What on earth is he telling you that for?
But
because he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, because he thought it was going to be so desolate. And then he would have to be there, Kevin. And then who else is going to protect us when people come in? So we go up. And I ended up going against my parents and deciding to just book this place. And it turned out to be great.
So... That's huge for you.
Huge to go against what everyone else thought was better.
How did you do it?
I just thought in my head, look, this place is beautiful. It had like a bowling alley in the basement. The kids were going to love it. And the end result is everyone loved it.
Of course.
It was enough space for everyone. Like, there wasn't one person that stayed that didn't like it. Now they want to do it every year. I'm like, what?
Did anyone turn? What? No, right? Did they turn to you and say like...
They did say good job.
Did. Okay.
They did, yeah.
Some of my... extended family would not, and it would drive me up the wall, but
oh no, they acknowledged.
Good. Okay, that's huge.
Yes,
this is huge. We will touch on this in a different segment. Actually, it could be a whole separate segment, but because I have it too.
Yeah,
for you to go against your parents.
Yeah,
because you've like done things to your body for your parents.
Oh, I would do anything.
Right.
Yeah,
like that's humongous.
Yes,
that you did this.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like the vaccine.
Yeah. It's huge. It's huge.
Yes.
I have it with my parents too. I do. It's a big thing. So I'm wondering if maybe it's a thing. I mean, it is a thing, right?
Oh,
it's
a thing.
We still live by our parents. We're in our 40s.
It's going to be forever for me.
Same with me.
Yeah. I can't.
I'll be doing it too. It's so difficult for me. But I think that would be awesome to talk about. I'm really proud of you.
Yep. Did it. It was great.
Huge. I think that opened up a whole thing for you.
I was going to do the cold shower this morning.
What's up?
But I couldn't do it.
Oh my God. That's huge too.
It was so cold. I'm like, how did she do this?
It's
I'm
really
like
cold.
Standing in there like, all right, the water's not heated yet. You can do this. Just go in. And I'm like, I just couldn't. I couldn't. My feet were cold. My hands were cold. I was like,
no. You got to go. You cannot. All right. If you're actually, I don't know that you're asking me, but
I think
you
ready.
Made a crucial mistake there, which everyone does.
Yeah. Like, let's fear
Turn
take
it on
over.
And get the F in.
See,
there.
You can do it.
That's it.
I can't
There's
do
no,
it.
I have a whole routine. I wear this bathrobe that looks like someone like threw up on it. That's my bathrobe. So off the bathrobe gets hung up. I pull out the faucet.
Oh no.
In.
I
That's
can't.
It. Like,
and then you
I'm
stand
like
there and let the water
there.
Hit you.
Yeah, for 5 to 7 minutes.
Oh, no, I was just going to jump in for like 3 seconds.
That's what they say to do. They don't say to do what I do. I just actually find it like something about it is very cleansing.
Okay.
I did it before the shoot yesterday morning, this 6 a.m. shoot, and I was freezing. I was
Oh, yeah, then you had to go outside.
I couldn't warm up. There was no time to warm up. And I was like,
And you didn't have
water.
A winter coat on either.
No, I had this like mesh shirt on. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. So you're like, I'm inspired. I'm all jazzed up. This
Here we
is
go.
Huge for you.
That was huge.
Yeah. Major.
And you did some big things.
Me too.
Yes,
I did it twice. Two times.
Early morning.
Let's go.
Meeting
I know,
with
right?
a younger yes, totally out of your comfort zone.
Major.
It's not a comfortable feeling.
No.
No.
I didn't know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I'm twice, and I do think of that. I'm twice their age. Like for some reason, I'm making that bad.
And he looks at you like you're equal, like you're
Yeah,
cool.
which is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so hung up on age. I'm so hung up on it.
I think it's because we're getting older.
The I think it would be helpful if we could let go of it because other people aren't doing it.
Like, no, when some people don't care.
Oh, I put up this post on Instagram like a month ago doing karate, and I was like, this is what an elderly mom looks like hanging out at her daughter's practice.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I saw
like,
that one.
Doing round kicks and flipping around, and they're like, elderly?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, like yeah, that's how I feel.
No, you're not.
I feel like I'm like 100. But anyway, so we did it. We want to hear about yours, what you're doing, what you're thinking of doing, what you're not doing, and you want to do, all of that. And on the next episode, we are going to be talking about public versus private, the difference between with the way social media comes into our lives and what should be kept in the inner sanctum and what isn't and how that impacts those around us. That's what we're going to be talking about. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. I don't know if you can even do that, but
you can comment.
You can comment. Comment on the podcast. Share it if you like, if it resonates with you. And if you can leave comments, it helps the podcast rank higher in the feed on Apple and Spotify. So you can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.